If I have a tendency to mumble, so some of you go like this, would you please, if you can't hear, just like I just did. I want to tell you that I'm very thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord, to look out and see my dear friends, some that I haven't seen for too long of a time and several years. And I've always enjoyed being able to come up into the Northland and remember how summer is supposed to be. And we forget that when we live south. But I'm thankful to be among you. I am thankful for the privilege to be able to stand here and to preach and to bring the things that the Lord has given me. I'm not going to preach anything new. I'm going to preach that same old gospel that we love. But I'm reminded that Jesus Christ never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And for all you young people in the audience or in the congregation, I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that Christ never changes. That the promises, the teachings that he gave 2,000 years ago are for you and for I today, just as they were 2,000 years ago. And they're for your parents and I, and those that are older and younger than I, because he's not a respecter of persons, but he brings this gospel message to all the nations of the earth. You know, and that's the role that we have in the Church of Christ. It's our responsibility to witness to others, to be ready to testify, to tell them of the hope that we have in this precious gospel message. A fitting song to start out here was singing about the Book of Mormon. How fortunate we are to have a second witness of Jesus Christ, to have a record that has been promised in the Scriptures, testified by the prophets of old, that we would have it brought forth before us, that we would be able to see out of obscurity and have a clarity the things that are written in the scriptures. You know, I was in a conversation the other day, and those that were talking, nothing wrong with this, but they were talking about trying to get an understanding of who it was that was talking and why they were saying it, and the wherefores and how it was translated, and Strong's and, you know, the study Bible and all this. But it's just so wonderful to have a Book of Mormon and enjoy the Word of God. Doesn't take anything away from the Bible. I love it. It's precious to us. We need both of them. And we have those for our edification, our teaching, our pleasure, and our assurance that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he calls each one of us to his work. All of us here today have been placed here for God's purpose in us and his purpose in us in the world. We're to be the light of the gospel to those in the world of darkness that we live in. Those that, the iniquity that bounds around us, those things that trouble us and set us aside and try us and tempt us and draw us away from the purposes of God to serve him. You know, from the beginning of time, God had a plan. He had this all worked out. He knew that Adam and Eve were going to sin, that he was going to have to remove them from the Garden of Eden. And that would be the end. There would be no more. That would have been, the plan would have been foiled. But no, that wasn't his plan. His plan was that we would have eternal life, that he would bring us joy and assurance and be in his presence for eternity. So he provided for a perfect sacrifice, even his son, Jesus Christ, who came down on earth. He taught among the children of men. He set an example. He took it on in the form of a man. He had trials. He was tempted just like you and I were. And he showed us how to live our life, to love one another, to be faithful, to do the will of the Father in all things, to keep his commandments, to love him, to appreciate him and to follow him into the waters of baptism, to receive his gift of the Holy Spirit, and endure the rest of our life serving Him, allowing His Spirit to direct us, to hold us up, and to guide us in our life that we might not falter. And so we're out here striving, we're out here enduring, and we come together in a reunion to be edified. And I want us to take advantage of each of that, as our brother said. I want us to take advantage of every service that we have here and to invite the Lord's Spirit to be among us, that we might be edified and lifted up, that we might feel it, that we might glean from it something and be able to take something when we leave New York and go to our homes, or leave the congregation and go to your home or wherever we live, you know, that we have something that we have, that we, there was a purpose why we were here, besides the fellowship and the love and the good food that we, and the things that we enjoy and the blessings of life, but those spiritual things. Pray for the ministry, that they would be led by the Lord's Spirit, and that your heart would might be open to receive the words of Jesus Christ. We're told that, you know, Jesus preached His gospel. He preached the same thing in Jerusalem. He preached the same thing here in the Americas, because He doesn't change. And He tells us we have to yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. We have to come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. We have to turn away from our prideful self, our selfishness, our impatience, our unforgiveness, our hardness, and yield. The scriptures tell us in the Mosiah, 1 Mosiah, I think it's about the 119th chapter, or 119th verse, the natural man is an enemy to God. Naturally, we're an enemy to God. Our natural thoughts, our natural selfishness, pride, you know, lust, temptations, and how we falter, that we're an enemy to God. And we always will be, unless we yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. Unless we allow that Spirit to work with us. And so we have to invite that Spirit in. We have to prepare ourselves. Tell God that we don't know everything. That we want to be like His Son. That we want His Spirit to work among us. And it might be fruitful among us. That we might yield. That our heart might be broken, and we might have a contrite spirit and listen to that still small voice. You know, the cultures we live in, we got cell phones, we got iPads, we got iPods, we got Twitter or whatever it is, and Facebook, and we've got all these things, and sports, and many of them are wonderful things. But we all get so busy and get ahead of ourselves, don't we all forget to slow down, take time out like we have this weekend, and think about the spiritual things and God's purpose for us in our life, and the reason that we're here this weekend, that brought into the church, whatever way, by the nudging of the Spirit, by our parent grabbing our ear and making us sit down, by your wife threatening you. No, my wife didn't threaten me. But I want you to enjoy the simpleness of the plan. You know, one thing about it, you know, think teachings of the Church of Christ, you don't have to be a theologian to understand them. They're plain, simple words. Love God. Give your life for Him. Give your soul for Him. You know, humble yourself. Seek His will in our life. Be baptized. Go follow the example of Jesus Christ and go down into the water of baptism and put on Christ and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and use that gift. Allow it to work with us. Give it time to nurture us and strengthen us and endure to the end and be ready to be an example, to be that light on the hill. As I started out to say, I am so thankful that that we have the Book of Mormon and two witnesses in these the last days, that we might have a clarity for the teachings of Jesus Christ, that there might not be any misunderstanding when we read the Bible and the Book of Mormon together, that we get that clear picture what it is that's required of us for eternal salvation. What it is that's required for us, for those of us that have already been baptized and we're members of the Church of Christ, and as we endure to the end, what's expected of us to witness, to testify, to be an example for the world. That light on the hill that's spoken of in the Scriptures. In the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, it says, starting in 11th verse, sixth chapter of Ephesians, starting in the 11th verse, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Protect yourselves of the things that God gives us, that as Satan throws the fiery darts at us, we might not be harmed, that we might not be hurt, but that we would be able to withstand, knowing and believing in faith in the promises of Him. It goes on and says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. That we wrestle not among ourselves. We wrestle against those things of Satan and those devices that he uses to draw us away from serving God, to discourage us from attending church, from tempting us that we might forget that God has commanded certain things, allowing us to possibly think that in this day and time it's different. You know, we're in a different culture today. And we have to do things that this culture says. Jesus Christ never changes. He knew. He knew the culture we were lived in. He refers to it repeatedly of a day of iniquity among them. And we live in that. We're a part of that. You know, if we like it or not. But we have to rise above it and separate ourselves from it, although we might have to work in it, we might have to go to school in it, we might have to shop in it, but we're to rise above that and be a light unto the non-believers. To be a light that some people might see in our life something that they would desire and would search and seek. So we're to put on the whole armor of God, the talents that he's given us. And of course, in this scripture, it talks about the armor of a Roman soldier or something, you know, but I'm not going to go into those, but to use the things that God has given us, you know, our faith, our testimonies, the testimonies of the times that each one of us have had hands laid upon us for the reception of the Holy Spirit, for a healing of a loved one, for direction in our life when we chose our mate or when we decided to take a new job, whatever we did, God was with us and he blessed us. And we have to remember that he will never, never, never forsake us if we humble ourselves and come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's his promise. And he doesn't change. Let's turn to Isaiah in the 55th chapter. And starting in the first verse, he says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye. Buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. He says, come. Yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and I will bless you. Salvation is a free gift. Don't waste our time with the things of the world. Spend our times in the things of God, and that that are last for an eternity. Wherefore, do you spend money for that which is not bread? You know, where's our time? You know, where's that spent? Or not, something that besides money, you know, but you know, those things that we have that are of value, and our time and our efforts are of value. What is it that we're spending them on? Your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in the fatness of the Lord. The blessings of God, overflowing, promised for each one of us. But we have to come. It goes on and it says, hearken diligently unto me. You know, give great care. Have a look for that exactness of what I'm saying and bring it home and ponder it in your hearts. Think about it and put it to practice in your life. Diligently unto me. Incline your ear, it says. You know, we can't be going about our daily task and doing all these things, multitasking and talking on our cell phone and to handling the kids and that. We have to do all that. But when we spend time with God, hearken unto him. Incline our ear and listen to the words. As we read them, pray for an understanding. Search them out and put them to practice in our life. Come unto me, he says, hear and your soul shall live. You know, hearing, let it register in your head, in your brain, and put it to practice in action. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Sixth verse says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon his name while he is near. Let those wicked let the wicked forsake his way. Make a change in our life. If we haven't repented of our sins, if we're doing the things of the world, make a change. Leave them. There's no value. Come and worship and serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. He tells us, goes on, and he tells us that, you know, his ways are higher than our ways, you know, and that they never change. So he's inviting us to come to enjoy his blessings and promising us that he'll be with us and bless us if we come and incline and hearken and diligently seek him. We're the body of Christ on earth. We're his sons and his daughters. We're his children. We're the Israel that he's talking about in the scriptures. You know, we're among them. And he calls out to us. And he gives us these examples of Israel of old and how he had blessed them. And yet they forsook him. They didn't accept his son. They turned from it. But he blessed them in all of their doings, and they went back to idols. They repented, and he blessed them again, and they became prideful. They became lofty. They got caught up in their possessions, like we do, maybe. All of us, to some extent. And we forget that we get the very breath that we need. The next breath from God. Nothing that we do, but God provides all things. And we have to yield to the and change our life and serve him each day and endure to the end. It says in the, I've got a theme on my mind here, okay, and that's to be ready. Are we ready? Are we ready this weekend for the Lord's Spirit to be here? Are we ready to accept it and use it for our edification and for our soul's salvation? Are we ready to accept the responsibility that we took the day that we went down into the waters of baptism and put on the name of Jesus Christ to serve him, to be an example, to follow him, and to be a light into the world. Let's turn to First Peter, if you would please. Verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Are we praising God in our daily lives, in our actions, in our examples? Are we remembering of the darkness that we were walking in before we came to Christ? Those things that we thought were enjoyable, but they weren't lasting. Those things that the frivolous times that we had, but they went away. You know, those things that we thought when we were young maybe and that was quote unquote fun and enjoyable. But we find today that no, that's not the joy that we have in being among the body of Christ, in being associated with the church of Christ, and of feeling his spirit, and knowing the assurance that he's with us, that he never changes, that he will not leave us, that he has an eternal plan, and he will be able to come all the trials of life through him, if we're numbered among the righteous. What a joy and what a pleasure. What a assurance that we have. And we need to be ready to stand. We need to do just like it said in Ephesians, to stand ye therefore, you know, and put on the armor. Take a stand for Jesus Christ. We need to be able to witness to others what it is that the church of Christ believes. You know, some... You hear the stories about the elevator speech, you know, you have from the 15th floor to the first floor, that amount of time to be able to convince your boss, you know, that you know what you're doing, or your girlfriend that she ought to marry you on the first floor, or, you know. We have to be prepared to be able to tell briefly what it is and why we believe that the Church of Christ is Christ's church on earth. What is our purpose? Why? How are we different from the churches of the world? Why there is a difference? What the scriptures teach? Doesn't mean we have to be theologians. I'm talking about the plain, simple gospel. And that they might just have a desire to learn more. And of the joy that we have when we go to reunions. When we sit in all-day services, what a difference it has made in our lives, and how it's drawn us out of darkness, you know, and completely changed my life. I know it's changed a lot of ours, and it's still changing. You know, I don't have any idea where in the world I'd be without the Church of Christ. I probably wouldn't be living, for one thing. I can imagine where I'd be, and I don't want to be there. And so we get our strength from meeting together and to praying for one another and to the fellowship that we have in everything that we do as we take our vacations, as we look forward to activities, as Wednesday night or Sundays or wherever it is that the church meets. And we need to take advantage of that. We need to invite our friends. We need to ask them to come with us. Enjoy those things that we enjoy. We need to reach out to them. We need to, Jeff Oldham calls it networking. We need to network it with them. We need to give them a call on a phone. Send them a text message. Talk to them on Facebook. Whatever way that we can to tell the people that we love and that we associate with, that we love them and that we want for them those same things that we have and enjoy each time that we meet. And the hope that we have in the resurrection and eternal life. That perfect brightness of hope that it talks about in the Book of Mormon. If we turn to the 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter, page 162, Maybe it's right there somewhere. Talking about the talking about the gospel of Christ, talking about the plan of salvation here. Yeah, and I'm going to read some of this. I'm going to turn to the 13th chapter, 14th verse. And the Father, God, said, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost, that comforting Spirit, that Spirit that will teach us all the things that we need to know to obtain eternal life. That still small voice that speaks to us and will direct us if we allow it and meditate upon it and invite it into our life. The Father will give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Wherefore follow me, Christ talking, and do the things which you have seen me do. Now search the Scriptures. How would Christ handle it? You know, if you have a difficulty with somebody at work or a neighbor or, you know, a brother or a sister, you know, where to go to them? Tell them that, you know, we feel offended. These are why, you know. Try to solve that. Work back and forth, you know, in the Lord. And you know, just as Christ, it works. We forget it sometimes. We get angry. We get prideful. We get hurt ourselves. And we don't do what we need to do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if you shall follow the Son with a full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing to the Father that you are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and your Savior down into the water according to his word, behold, then shall you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then cometh the baptism, the fire, and the Holy Ghost. And then shall ye speak with the tongue of angels and shout the praises of the Holy One of angels. You'll speak like the angels because you'll have the Holy Spirit to work with you, just as the angels do, as it tells us over in the next chapter. Most of us believe that. Most of us have gone through that. Why am I reading it? To remind us. To remind us what the Scriptures say, that we might know and be able to teach others why, what happens, what the purpose is, where do we find that written? You know, I'm going to skip down to verse 24. For the gate by which you should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. You know, we have a wonderful scripture in the 7th chapter, I think it is, of Matthew, talking about that straight and narrow gate we should enter. And a few there be that find it. And the world has that, and they don't really understand that. But that gate by which we should enter is baptism. That's that straight and narrow, the repentance and baptism is that straight and narrow gate by which we should enter. And then we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we have a remission of our sins. And then it tells us that that is not all. You know, there are those in the world that believe all you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ. That's all we have to do. Does the Bible tell us if we believe we'll be saved? Yes, it does. It also says a lot of other things, you know, that we must repent of our sins, that we must be baptized, that we must follow the example of Christ, that we must keep his commandments, that we must love him, that we must do the will of the Father, that, you know, goes on and on. I mean, we have works at any rate. It says, you're through the gate, is all done. No, we have to endure. We have to continue where most of us are. Behold, I say unto you, nay, you have not come this far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ. We can't just be walking around aimlessly. We can't just be coming and seeing what the Lord's going to do for us. We have to press forward. We have to fight Satan. We have to put pressure on Satan that he might not be able to touch us. We have to continue to repent of our sins and humble ourselves. We have to continue to be good examples for our brothers and sisters and for those around us, pressing forward with a steadfastness in Christ. Why? Because he doesn't change. Are we ready? Are we ready to do that? Are we committed to do that, to press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men? That hope of eternal life. That hope of arriving at that tree of life in Lehi's dream that our brother talked about. That no matter what has beset us, to have instilled in us the faithfulness of God and the brightness of the hope that, you know, Satan, you can do anything you want to me, but God has a plan for me, and he will not leave. And I am going to continue in the faith, and I am going to put my trust not in my arm of flesh or in you or the world. I'm going to put it in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to allow him to direct me. And having that perfect brightness of hope, that firm, concrete understanding that the promises of God never change, and he is faithful, and he'll be with us. He said, wherefore you shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end. Behold, thus saith the Father, you shall have eternal life. What a wonderful promise. That is not difficult to understand. You know, you don't have to understand, you know, who was talking here and what was being said and what their attitude was and what their relationship was with their father or, you know, anything like that that we can get into. The pure word of the gospel. Come, partake, endure, seek, have hope, feast upon, get our energy and our thoughts and our encouragement from the words of Jesus Christ. And we're fortunate to have it not only written in the Bible, but in the Book of Mormon in the day and the time. Are each one of you prepared and ready to explain why it is that we believe in the Book of Mormon is the Word of God? I know many of us are. You know, we need to teach our children. We need to be able to explain it in simple terms, not to bring discouragement to everybody, but let them know what it is that we believe. You know, my answer, people ask me, why do you believe in the Book of Mormon? You know, we've got a Bible. I says, because I believe in the Bible, and the Bible tells me there's going to be a record. He's promised me that in the mouth of two or three witnesses. He's told me when two nations come together, you know, and the word of God will be set forth. He talks to me about the restoration of the Church of Jesus Christ in the last days. He talks to me about, you know, his establishment of Zion and his place of refuge. He talks to me about he'll never forsake me. And he has these promises for us if we yield and come, if we incline our ear, if we are ready to give an answer. That's our responsibility. Not only to know why we believe, to believe it, to trust in God and put it to practice in our life. And I know we all do that. But we need to continue to do that. And we need to be able to reach out to those around us that they might have that same joy that we have. Even more so than we are doing. And I think most of us do that, any opportunity that we have. I'm not saying that, you know, every time we meet a friend, hey, did I tell you what we did? You know, the third chapter of Nephi, and you know, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about praising God. I'm talking about being thankful. I am talking about expressing spiritual experiences that we've had, answer to prayer, letting them know that you believe in prayer and you pray for them, being a good example, letting our light shine and to be, have joy in the things that we have in the gospel. Rejoice. Sing praises. Our brothers that we come, sing. Enjoy it. You know, the time that we have this weekend is 48 hours, 72 hours, you know, and I, we've already, you know, it's only now 71 hours or something. But, you know, it's those things that, that, to use the gifts that God has given us. Whatever that might be. Whatever that is. It just might be faith. It might be being here all the time. It might be praying for somebody. It might be witnessing. It might be teaching. It might be feeding someone. It might be writing a letter or email. But what's the message? Can't think of what it is. You know, a chat or something, you know. And but to every day, we should wake up in the morning and say, Lord, how can I be used today? What it is that you have that you want me to do? You know, among all the mundane things of making a living and supporting our families and cutting the grass and doing all those things, you know, what special thing do you have me to do? You know, is there anything, you know? If you think of somebody, maybe you need to call them. You know, if a thought comes, maybe you need to pray about it. Whatever that is, and allow the Lord to work with us. In 1 Peter in the 3rd chapter, starting in the 12th verse, and the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if we suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready. Be ready to do it as an example. Be ready if they actually ask you that question. But, you know, use the gifts. Witness. Testify. Shine. Enjoy. Praise God. Be helpful. Love one another. Be a witness for Jesus Christ. He tells us to, in the 14th chapter of John to, if we love him, we should keep his commandments and allow his spirit to be with us. They said, he goes on, he said, I'll send you a comforter. I've read the scripture in my Mosiah, or I talked about it, about the natural man being an enemy to God. So individually, we have a lot of work to do. And we should be asking the Lord each day, Lord, what can I do for you today? What is it that you would like me to do? You know, yes, we should ask God, ask him to watch over us, to provide for our daily bread, for our jobs, give him thanks and praise for the things. But we need to also ask him what it is would you like me to do for you today. Let me know some way how I might serve thee. And do that every day. And you know, that's bringing about the cause of Zion. That's being the pure in heart and attempting to overcome the world in our individual activities by praising God and overshadowing Satan and bringing joy and praise and thanksgiving to those around us. That's the work that we have. We We know that, you know, in the last days it talks about that this gospel of the kingdom is going to go to all the nations of the world. And you know, we see that to some extent happening. We can see how it's going to happen in the future. And it says that, you know, as a witness, this gospel, the things that the Church of Christ believes, the doctrine of His church, is going to be taught in the nations of the world. It's going to be taught in its completeness, and it's going to be taught by the Church of Christ to the nations of the earth, to Christ's church on earth, because that's the promise, and that's what He's called. That's why He restored the church. That's why He's called ministry. That's why He's called you and I, is to be part of the body of Christ, to be among the pure in heart, to bring about the cause of Zion, that that place of refuge might be in place for the times and the troubles and the tribulations that are going to come upon this land. But we can rejoice in knowing that God already has a plan in place of providing a place of refuge, the New Jerusalem, the Zion on this land, to be built up a holy city. And the people of Joseph would, from this land would come, and those of the house of Israel would come throughout the world, and that Jerusalem of old would be built up again, a holy city under the Lord. And, you know, it's not today. It would have to be changed, just like, you know, we believe the New Jerusalem is going to be an independence. It's a sinful place. It's going to be changed. And we're called to for that cause, to bring that about, to show our love, to show our compassion and the hope that we have, and that the people of this nation might gather together the righteous into a place of refuge. That the gospel would not only go to the nations of earth, but it'd go to the 10 tribes of Israel in the last days. And that it says in the scriptures that they will accept Jesus Christ, or they'll be shut off. But it'll go forth, and you know, we're among the vehicle that's going to be accomplished. And we need to be ready. We need to be willing. It's going to take each one of us, but we can do so with faith, believing in the promises. You know, we read in the book of Ether, it was given to Ether, you know, everything from the beginning of time until the end of the time. You know, and things were written down, but that's been, we held a portion of that in the future that is still part of the sealed part of the Book of Mormon, but will only come forth in the last days when the people are righteous enough to accept it. But let's turn to what the sixth chapter of Ether. Moroni is writing. He's writing the things that Ether wrote. And starting with the second verse, it said, "Behold, they rejected all the words of Ether, for he truly told them of all things from the beginning of man until after the waters had receded from off the face of this land. It became a choice land above all other lands, a chosen land of the Lord. Wherefore the Lord would have that all men should serve him who dwell upon the face of thereof, and that it was the place of the New Jerusalem, which had come down of heaven, and the holy sanctuary of the Lord." The place of the New Jerusalem and the place of the holy sanctuary of the Lord. That's what the scriptures say. "Behold, Ether saw the days of Christ, and he spoke concerning a New Jerusalem upon this land. And he spake also concerning the house of Israel, and the Jerusalem from whence Lehi came should come. After it should be destroyed, it should be built up again, a holy city unto the Lord. Wherefore it could not be a New Jerusalem, for it had been in time of old, but it should be built again and become a holy city unto the Lord, and it should be built up unto the house of Israel. And that a New Jerusalem should be built upon this land unto the remnant of the seed of Joseph, for which things there shall be a type. For as Joseph brought his father down into Egypt, land of Egypt, even so he died there. And so in the last days, the descendants of Joseph would be saved and brought into the kingdom and to be numbered once again in the body of Christ and into his peoples, his sons and his daughters. They're going to come to an understanding. It's talking about the descendants of Joseph on this land. The descendants of Manasseh, the Native American people, those of the various tribes of the Native Americans, and of Ephraim. It's both of them, and we're to reach out for them. We know and understand and are thankful there is this congregation right here among those people. There's going to become a day when the building will be overflowing with the people of the Mohawk tribe. I believe it. And we have the opportunity to be a part of that work and to pray for the people on this reservation, to the Native American people wherever they are, to Israel wherever they are, in the nations of the world. And they're all over the world. They're in Africa. They're, we don't know where they are. But we know that the Lord is pulling on them. And they're coming forth. And we see places in the earth. I'm sure Brian will have an opportunity to talk about some of these, where the Lord has seen fit to call men and to entice them or to touch the hearts of the women, that they would have a desire, a yearning to know more about Christ's church on earth. And we're all part of that. We've all experienced it, maybe in our own families, but we're now talking about something beyond our comfortable, the box that we live in, I guess. Something beyond that. That this need for the day and the time that we live in to fulfill the scriptures, that this gospel of the kingdom would be preached to all the nations of the earth as a witness. They may not accept it, but they are going to hear it and have an opportunity to make a choice, just like we do. That's how we make a choice, that the Lord might bless us for our righteous choices, that we might live eternally with him. And we have to be ready for that day and that time, for that calling that's already here, that we would know. Some of it is future, of course, but it's happening right now. The scriptures testify of these things. Joel talked about the place of refuge. Isaiah talked about it. Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi, 12th chapter, 11th, 12th chapter, the Book of Ether, throughout it. It's all talking about these places of refuge and God's plan for his people in the times of troubles. The things that, when we get ripened in iniquity, and if we look about us, we know where we are. We're in that last time. And we need to rejoice for the opportunities that the Lord has given to the Church of Christ. We need to be ready. We need to be stewards. We need to be strong. We need to be able to stand, study the scriptures, have a complete understanding of the day and the time that we live, and have our faith and our hope, and press forward with our good example, our sterling example of Christians today, as they were in the days of old, and to be the people of Christ and to put on his armor and fight the battle that we're involved in. And so, we're all calling. We're calling, it's told us we were the generation of a holy priesthood, a generation, we were a people with a common belief being in Jesus Christ, and having a common understanding, a common culture, and we're called to go forth and to be faithful And I'm thankful for each one of us and for your examples that you've been for me, for your prayers for me, and for the missionary outreaches of the church. And we need to be able to do that. Same outreach among the people in this country. We need to reach out to the Native Americans. We need to reach out to Israel among us. You know, the 10 tribes that we don't know who they are, but they're here. Surely Ephraim. You know, reach out to our neighbors, and they might be join us. And if there's those of us that are not members of the church yet, we need to pray and ask God to give us an understanding of what it is that he desires and what it is that his doctrine is and what it is that the example that he has set for us. And yield and come with a completeness and a fullness and a desire with real intent, it says. And he will bless us. And you and I that have been baptized, we need to remember that day that we went down into the waters of baptism. And that thought that we had, you know, call me forth, oh, you know, whatever that song is, I'll go where you want me to go. He's got us right where he wants us today. And we need to remember that we're missionaries for the Church of Christ. Each one of us have called to be an example, to testify, to be ready to explain, to teach, to pray for, to encourage, and take great care for those around us by example. And so none of us should be bored. I don't think we are, but you know, none of us can say, well, I can't do anything. The Lord has already called us. That's why we're here. It's one of the reasons we came, for whatever reason we came. One of the reasons the Lord has placed us in his church, that for that we might be faithful, that we might encourage and strengthen the body of Christ in our prayers, in our presence, in our offerings, in our tithings, in our desires, in our missionary efforts, in our complete life, to that this gospel of the kingdom would be preached, that there would be those of the believers in Christ would yield to what the scriptures teach in the simplicity of the gospel, and if they would remember that God never changes. Now we need to be ready to testify of that and to be able to show them in the scriptures what the Church of Christ is, why we believe what it is, the examples that are in the scriptures of how, what its teachings are, what its ordinances are, what its structure is, that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. You know, that there's to be apostles and evangelists and, you know, offices that are written in the scriptures. That they're to preach that old Jerusalem gospel and not the gospel that's being preached of the world. You know, the gospel that everything goes, you can do whatever you want to do as long as you do what you believe. That's the gospel that's being preached in the churches of the world. And we need to show by an example of God's blessing for those of us that are faithful to his teachings. And so, I want us to take the time this weekend to remember. You know, and this time that we have and partake of it, the prayer service and the fellowship and the preaching services and the sacrament service, and to invite the Lord's Spirit to be among us. Expect the Lord's Spirit to be among us. Be ready for the Lord's Spirit to be among us. Be ready to listen and yield to the Lord's Spirit that will be among us. He's promised wherever two or three might be gathered, the Spirit will be there. And so we come with expectation and hope that the Lord would fill this room in our very being, that we might be strong and be able to be the people that he would like us to be. We are, tells us, and I got all these references I'm not going to give, but the scriptures tell us, you know, how to, the things that we need to do to work out our salvation, to study, to be approved, to testify, to stand and be the cause of Zion in this last days, that the people of Christ would be gathered together and would reach out to the nations of the earth and be successful and to endure the end. So I'm thankful for this opportunity. Sometime I hope to be able to preach the what I have written here. I'm very thankful to be here. I'm thankful for each one of you. And I want us to continue to pray for the ministers that follow me, and the servants and the prayer services. So thankful for the local here and the families that work so hard that we were able to be here this day in the preparation. And I praise God and look forward to being able to fellowship with each one of you, to hearing your testimonies and your prayers and the services, and to being lifted up by the Spirit of God. God bless you.